يا هلا فويس، صوتك العالي.
Now you are listening to Talk of the Town. Talk of the Town with Ray Hanania. Talk of the Town brought to you by LifeRun Medical Alert Systems.
And good afternoon. I'm Ray Hanania, and this is Talk of the Town Radio, the alternative voice to the biased anti-Arab mainstream American news media. I just love to say that. They hate it when I say it too. It's Friday, March 20th, 2015, the first day of spring this year. Join the discussion today by calling 708-321-1313, extension 1. We want to hear your opinions. That's 708-321-1313, extension 1. Again, we want to hear what you have to say. Your opinions are important, so don't be afraid to call in anytime during the discussion. Our producer is Khalid Khilfa, and he'll get you on the air right away. Talk of the Town is brought to you by LifeRun Medical Alert Systems, the best emergency system for seniors and people in healthcare need available today. Their number is 1-800-421-3366. We're broadcast live every Friday at 4 p.m. Chicago time on 1450 a.m. radio live and also online at yahalavoice.com. We're also rebroadcast on yahalavoice.com on Mondays at 11 a.m. Download our podcast from iTunes or from our news website at thearabdailynews.com. And don't forget to download our app for the Arab Daily News for Apple and Android devices. This week we're going to be talking about the Israeli elections from this past Tuesday, March 17th, and we're going to be joined by journalist Mohammed Najib, who's based in Ramallah, and we're waiting for him. Yeah, we're waiting for him to call, so he should be buzzing us in a few minutes. Mohammed just recently interviewed Hanin Zubi, one of the dozen, actually 13 Palestinian Israelis who won office in the Knesset this year. And I just got a message from Mohammed. He's trying to call us, he says, but it's not going through. We'll see if I could text him one more time just to make sure he has the right number. 13 Arabs won seats in the Israeli Knesset, which is, a record. I think the last one was, 11 seats. Let me just text, Mohammed a number again. 708-321-1313, extension 1. So hopefully Mohammed will give us a buzz. We want to hear what he has to say. What's fascinating about this election is that the Arabs really, I mean, even though the Likud took the largest number of votes, 30 seats in the Knesset, and under Benjamin Netanyahu, this fanatic who's been running Israel to the ground for the past 6 or 8 years, the real story is that the Arab vote was significant. They were actually 11% of the total vote. There were approximately, I think, 4.2 million votes cast. The Arabs won 13 seats, or that's 11% of the vote, because it's all based on percentages, which means that there are probably about 490,000 Arabs who voted in the Israeli Knesset elections. That's significant, 500,000. The problem, of course, is that the centrists, who are led by the Zionist Union, which would be Zippy Livni and Isaac Herzog, they don't have enough votes to form a centrist government. And chances are Netanyahu is going to form a government. And one of the interesting aspects of this is that they can't – the centrists – oh, we got Mohammed on the line. Great. Let's put him on. But I was just finishing real quick that part of the problem is obviously that Netanyahu and his right-wing fanatics won't partner with the Arabs, but neither will the liberal centrists in the Israeli government. They won't partner with the Arabs. And as much as everybody in Israel talks about giving the Arabs the right to vote and being inclusive, they really don't want them. That's why Netanyahu was so easily used racism in the last days of the election to scare Israeli voters to rally around his party. We do have Mohammed Najib on the line. He's based in Ramallah. He's a journalist, longtime writer and journalist, and he just recently interviewed Hanin Zubi, one of the Arab list, the joint list candidates. Mohammed, thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Ray.
How is everything there? How was the election in your view?
Well, the outcome of those elections was a big surprise and confusion for the Palestinian Authority, for the region, as well as for the international community. Because the re-elected Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has confirmed one day before the elections that if he re-elected as the Prime Minister of Israel, he will not allow the establishment, the existence of Palestinian independent state, right, and will kill the two-state solution.
But did Mohammed, did you ever really believe that, and did Arabs really, or anybody really believe Netanyahu was serious and truthful when he said he supported two states? I've always felt he never really wanted a Palestinian state. He's always been opposed to peace. You know, he rallied against Yitzhak Rabin, the peace governments of Peres and Ehud Barak. I mean, didn't people think that, you know, this is really the ugly truth coming out of Netanyahu finally?
Actually, before the elections, his actions on the ground confirms that he doesn't want a two-state solution.
Right.
The grabbing of Palestinian land in the West Bank and the expansion of settlements in the West Bank and East Jerusalem will leave no chance, no opportunity for the existence of a Palestinian state. He was killing practically the two-state solution, but his confirmation of that and re-election by the majority of Israelis that gave the Palestinian people and leadership a negative message that not only our problem is not only with the Israeli leadership, but also with the Israeli people who voted for Netanyahu.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right, Mohammed. You know, this vote shows, you know, and not just Netanyahu, but when you look at the total vote, the list that received the most votes were these right-wing, you know, Israeli party votes. You know, not just the Likud, but some of the religious parties. You add them all up, and they add up to more than 60, you know, the 61 votes that they needed. You know, like the Jewish Homeland with Naftali Bennett. He got 8 seats. The guy is a raving lunatic. You know, I mean, he's a racist. Avigdor Lieberman, another racist with Israel Batune, he got 6 seats. The United Torah of Judaism got 6 seats. You know, the Likud got 30 seats. And the one party, though, that I thought maybe could swing the election is the Kulanu party with Moshe Kahlan. What is Moshe Kahlan like? Is he somebody that we can work with, or is he also a right-wing fanatic?
Moshe Kahlon was an economic personality, and he said he will not be in one government with Netanyahu, but now Netanyahu has offered him the finance ministry, and some primary reports say that he agrees to be the Minister of Finance. As you said, Ray, before the election, Netanyahu has 21 seats at the Knesset, but now he has 30,
right,
which not surprised the Palestinians, but also it surprised the Israelis themselves. And I will allow me to give you 2 examples.
Yes.
Yesterday, the former chief of the Shin Bet, Yuval Diskin, wrote on his Facebook that it's strange that the Israelis re-elected the leader who made them hungry and poor, while Gideon Levy, a peace activist at Haaretz, wrote, "It seems that we need to elect Israeli people, not leadership, because he cannot understand how the Israeli people re-elect and voted for extremism."
Yeah, it's, I'll tell you, the vote in Israel, and this is bad. I'll tell you why it's bad for Israel, because what Netanyahu did and the Israeli people did was that they gave Barack Obama the excuse he needs now to really shove it to the Israelis during his final 2 years in office. Because I think that Obama now has his excuse when the Palestinians come to the United Nations, I don't believe the United States is going to veto any effort by the Palestinians to ask the United Nations to recognize statehood. Do you get that sense, and do Palestinians get that sense, that the more Israel drifts to the fanatic right, that it's possible during these remaining 2 years with Barack Obama that we might actually get some support from the president?
The Palestinian Authority is shocked, and under this confusion, they try to formulate and to draw a strategy. What they do, as you know, on 1st April, the Palestinian membership will be activated at the ICC, and they can, either the Palestinian Authority or any Palestinian human rights organization, complain against Israel of war crimes. But right now, they hope, they are still watching what the United States will do. But yesterday, the famous Palestinian columnist Ibrahim Milhem wrote on Al-Quds and titled his op-ed by Sharing Extremism. And he said, the re-election of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will save the cost for the Palestinian Authority to hire media experts and strategists to defend Israel's image and policies, because Netanyahu and his member of cabinet will do the job and more.
Why doesn't the Palestinians do that? Why don't they think in terms of hiring strategists, communication strategists, to win support? I mean, listen, even Netanyahu, when he saw that it was close in the election, I'm sure he sat with his strategist and he said, look, how do we get more votes? Because if we're even with the Zionist Union, that's a loss for Netanyahu. Now, he only got, six seats is a lot, one of the small parties almost, but he got six more seats by warning the Israeli people that if they don't watch it, the Arabs will take over Israel. And he pointed to the Israelis and used racist terms like they're busing Arab voters to the polls. And if we don't watch it, the Jewish nature of Israel will disappear. He was smart enough and to use that, what he needed to win. Why aren't the Palestinians like that? I mean, why do we always tend to use the language that undermines our cause? Because I think the Arabs could have gotten even more votes than the 13% that they got.
You are right, Ray, because Netanyahu is very smart, and he and the Likud party have hired the best strategies to campaign for them. For example, I told my Israeli expert that his participation at Charlie Hebdo anti-terrorism demonstration in Paris, despite the call on him and the wish on him not to come, and his determination to address a speech in front of the U.S. Congress, despite the unwelcome from Obama administration, show the Israelis that this is a strong leader, a charismatic leader like Ben-Gurion and Ariel Sharon. So this is what the Israelis want. And that's on the other side. And on the other hand, the candidate, Itzhak Herzog, was a shining, hesitant leader. So Israelis said, we want to vote for this leader. He played the game smartly. And 1 week before the elections, he called on the settlers' leaders in the West Bank and told them, listen, if you vote for Herzog, you have to prepare and to back your luggage to leave the settlements, because he's going to evacuate you, as happened in Gaza in 2005. If you vote for Naftali Bennett, Naftali Bennett cannot do anything for you. So you have to vote for me. And the settlers said, okay, we will do it. So he played not against the laborers, but he also played against the rightist groups and parties like Israel Biteno and of Lieberman. So he was played very smart.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, look, the issues are not good sometimes. What Netanyahu did was, I think, racist. He used racism to scare Israeli voters to give him the edge he needed, because they almost beat him. All the polls, I think, prior to the election showed that Netanyahu was in trouble. But for some reason, he also saw that, and he was smart enough to say what needed to be said. And I think that was part of the big problem. We're on the line with my friend Mohammed Najib. He's a journalist based in Ramallah, a Palestinian journalist. We're going to take a break, Mohammed, just to do some commercials. And when we come back, let's continue talking about the elections in Israel and maybe even the how the Arab members of the new Arab members of the Knesset and the this new joint list, how they're going, what you foresee them doing as members of the Knesset. Will they actually have a role in helping to change, you know, Israel from what it is into a real democracy where Arabs have rights? I'm Ray Hanania. This is Talk of the Town Radio here at 1450 AM live in Chicago and also live online. It can be heard all over the world at yahalavoice.com. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back right after these messages.
I'm Tisma Yahala Voice in Chicago.
Do you have a medical alert device? When you press the button for help, can you talk through your pendant? With many companies, you still have to talk through the base unit, and that's not much help in an emergency. The answer, LifeRun Medical Alert Systems. Simply press the button and talk to a live operator right through the pendant. If your device can't do that, upgrade to LifeRun today. The system is free, the shipping is free, and the monitoring fee is less than a dollar a day. Call LifeRun now at 1-800-421-3366 or order online at LifeRun.com.
هوم لايف فيرنيتشر آخر صيحات الأثاث وكل ما تحتاج من مفروشات. هوم لايف فيرنيتشر، الأمانة، الأخوة والدقة في المواعيد.
No credit needed to finance. Everyone is approved at Home Life Furniture, 13449 South Cicero Avenue in Crestwood, Illinois, 708-631-3627. Mention Yahala Voice and your delivery is free. Get $200 off when you spend $1,500.
Mancari Chrysler Jeep Dodge's 72-hour sale starts now. $30 million in inventory, $5 million in discounts, and $25 million to lend will be available for this public sale at Mancari's Chrysler Jeep Dodge at Oak Lawn. Now through Monday, get $12,000 off MSRP. Get 0% for 72 months, plus a $4,500 rebate. 800 factory cars are on display. Brand new Jeep Cherokees, Grand Cherokees, minivans, Ram trucks, and more. $5 million in discounts will be made available on Mancari's $30 million of new car inventory. Stop what you're doing right now and get to Mancari's in Oak Lawn. $12,000 off MSRP. 0% for 72 months, plus $4,500 in rebates. $30 million in inventory. And bank reps on site with $25 million to lend. You will drive today. Hurry. This public sale will absolutely end Monday. Sale hours extended till midnight at Mancari Chrysler Jeep Dodge on 95th Street, Oak Lawn. On select models, $1,389 per thousand with zero down with approved credit plus tax, title, license, and doc fee.
مرحبا، أنا ولاء عباد بقدم لكم برنامج الصبح صباحه من الاثنين للخميس. بنسمعكم أحلى الكلام، بنرجعكم لأيام البلاد الحلوة لما كانت كل العائلة ملتمة تفطر مع بعض، لما إمنا كانت تحط القهوة والشاي على النار، لما كنا نغمس الزيت والزعتر، ولما كان أبونا يعطينا المصروف إذا كان معه. برنامج صباحه عربي 100%. إذا اشتقت للمة العيلة اسمعنا في برنامج صباحه من الاثنين للخميس على راديو ياهلا فويس الساعة 9:30 بتوقيت شيكاغو.
وحشاني الدنيا في بلدي، عايز أروح أروح بلدي وافتكر اللي كان. وحشاني اللمة الحلوة واللي اللمة بيعزف غنوة في ليلة حب كمان.
علي صوتك مع صوت يا هلا.
And welcome back to Talk of the Town Radio. I'm Ray Hanania here at 1450 AM Radio Live, also broadcasting live online. You can pick it up anywhere in the world at yahalavoice.com. Our phone number is 708-321-1313, extension 1. Our producer is Khalid Khilfa. Just ask for him. He'll put you on the air with us. Right now, we have Mohammed Najib. He is a well-known and great journalist, good friend of mine from Ramallah. He's there tonight And he's helping us kind of analyze the election. If you're free and want to call in, we'd love to have you ask any questions you want, 708-321-1313, extension 1. The question I have, Mohammed, is what role do you think the Arab members of the Knesset have? You know, it was nice, wasn't it, to see so many Arabs come out and vote, Arab Israelis. But can they make a difference, do you think?
Yes, the joint party become the third force in the Knesset after the Likud of Netanyahu and the Zionist camp of Yitzhak Herzog, and this is the first time the percentage of voting has increased from 52 to 70%, which was satisfying for them. And when I asked them what you can do, they said they can, first of all, a campaign inside the Knesset and inside the Israeli community to stop the Hamas demolition policy that adopted by the Israeli during the last years and remove Israeli-Arab community from their illegal or what they call illegitimate towns. So that is important to help the Israeli-Arabs, the Palestinians who have Israeli citizens, to have their houses. And secondly, the Arab refuse the Jewish state that Netanyahu is calling for. So that will be defending themselves as a minority in this country and who lives on their land. And this also will be good to be for Abbas, because Netanyahu all the time was calling on President Abbas to recognize Israel as a Jewish state. But now Abbas can use this excuse that you have a powerful force inside the parliament who disagree with that. So how you call on me to recognize Israel as a Jewish state while even in your parliament there is a difference, there is split over this issue?
I wanted to also do a shout-out to two of my biggest fans, David and Rula Hanania. They're related to me. So, you know, I got to do this because I got to pay family dues. You know, what can I do, Khalid? We do have Care, I think you said, is on the line from LaGrange. Care, you're on with Mohammed Najib, who is in Ramallah. Thanks for calling, Care.
Hey, Mohammed. Hey, Ray. How's it going?
It's good to hear from you, man.
Yeah.
I want to pretend like you're a new caller, but we know you, so what can we do?
Well, I'm wondering, though, how serious you were about that Obama could now start to bargain on the side of the Palestinians.
Well, I don't know. I think Obama is really upset. You know, Boehner is going to go to Israel to congratulate Netanyahu. Netanyahu
wow.
came here, made that speech, you know, without anybody, you know, I mean, really disrespecting the President of the United States. Obama's spokesperson, you know, pretty much expressed a real concern about reassessing our relationship and strategy in terms of our approach to the peace process. Now, they're not going to take away the billions that they take from your pocket, Care. They're still going to give that to Israel. You're screwed on that level. But he may not veto a resolution that comes before the United Nations. That would be a big slap in the face of Netanyahu and Israeli voters to tell them that they can't act like maniacs and be irresponsible and expect to get everything they want.
I don't see that happening, though, because, like, when Ambassador Power spoke at AIPAC, she was so fawning.
Right. Oh, well, they're always like that. Listen, it's kind of like an African-American, you know, being told that they're going to have equal rights in the United States, even in the 1970s. They still don't believe it. Do you know what I mean? And it's hard to believe, and there's still resistance against it, even till this day. There's a lot of race. By the way, did you go to Starbucks?
We got to ask Monroe about that.
I got to bring Monroe on. Did you go to Starbucks to buy coffee to talk about race this week?
Oh, God. What kind of an idea was that?
I don't know. Listen,
that's
exactly
what I want to talk about with my barista.
That's right.
Mortality.
I'm going to have my coffee black. I'm going to have my coffee black. It's going to really turn off the whole idea of having coffee for me. I don't know. What am I going to do?
This coffee's going to make me drop dead of a heart attack.
All right, Kara. Any other questions maybe from Mohammed, who's on the line from Ramallah?
Yeah, absolutely. What has been the reaction on the street in Ramallah?
Thank you, Kerr, for this question. The Palestinian Street is very frustrated and upset because they hope that the Israeli community will vote and re-elect another leader beside Netanyahu, whom have examined his policies on the ground recently. He has seized the Palestinian money, some $377 million of tax revenues that collected by Israel have been blocked, and the employees of the Palestinian Authority, whom are some 170,000, cannot cash except 60% of their salaries since January right now. And following the election, he declared as his office director that I am going to adopt a hard and a tough attitude toward Abbas to punish him for his intervention in the Israeli elections and support for the joint party. So the signs that come from Tel Aviv right now are negative and calling for pessimism.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that, you know, Mohammed, doesn't anybody look at that and say, you know, that guy Netanyahu is crazy? But that's what a lot of Israelis want. I mean, a lot of Israelis are crazy, I think. The majority of them,
you
obviously.
You called him the Antichrist. You called him the Antichrist.
He is the Antichrist, but that's disrespectful to the Antichrist.
Yeah, I didn't get the joke about the blue turban. I thought, whoa, man, now I know I've got to never wear a blue turban.
Hey, that's the blue turban, the guy that's going to, the beast.
Yeah, according to what great source?
Yeah, the Bible. The Bible. What are you going to do? Hey, listen, Kerr, it's always good to hear your voice.
You too,
I'm glad
Ray.
You're doing well, and thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, and I want to express solidarity, too, with the Palestinian people.
All right. That's phenomenal. And, thank you. But, hey, by the way, Kerr, if you're not doing anything tonight, Rashid Darwish, my buddy, Rashallah Voice Radio. He has his own radio station, Rashallah Voice. He has a McLuba Bowl tonight. It's bowling, buffet, shoe rental, and raffle for $35 at Orland Bowl, 8601 West 159th Street. If you want to bowl or you just like lobbing bowling balls or throwing them, you don't even have to do well. Just kind of throw one a couple times. Rise
well,
up radio.
We'll be able to talk politics. So.
All right. But listen, Kerr, thank you so much for calling, man. It's great talking with you.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Ray and Mohammed. And, you know, tell those people in Ramallah to stay strong.
All right, and you know,
thank you, Kerr.
And you know, Mohammed, they got us. You and I had coffee at Stars and Bucks restaurant on the second floor, right above Menara Square. I remember that. Remember that Stars and Bucks coffee house?
Yes.
I miss that. We had a great time. Believe me, you're such a good person. Mohammed Najib, our friend and journalist, is on the phone line with us from Ramallah. We're trying to analyze and discuss the Israeli elections. It is a great disappointment, I think, overall. Don't you think, Mohammed?
Yes, it's a great disappointment. But despite that, we have to face the reality. And I think the Palestinian Authority should work well to reach the Israeli street and the Israeli voters and tell them that this will ensure you security more than the government procedures that adopted by Netanyahu, more than hungering the Palestinians and seize their money, more than continue the blockade on more than 1.5 million to 1.5 million, 2 million in Gaza. But I think we failed in approach the Israeli voters on the right time and to convince them and to make the change. This is the challenge. We should work with difficulties, not with the easy. And I don't know, for some reason, most of the Palestinian leadership convinced itself that the Israelis will vote for Herzog, and they start praising Herzog, and that's used by Netanyahu negatively in the last hour. They told him, you see the Arabs rushing to the ballot boxes to monopolize Israel democracy, and the Palestinian Authority wants Herzog, so then the Israelis choose Netanyahu.
Well, why doesn't the Palestinian Authority set up a fund to create a powerful communication strategy to address Israelis and change the vote? You know, I mean, listen, I don't believe all Israelis are bad. Probably about 20% of them are nut jobs, but 80% of them are good people. And I think a lot of them are just afraid. Do you know what I mean? They don't hear a clear message from the Arabs. They look at the Arab world and they see fear. You know, they feel fear. They see violence. They see all the disruption in the whole Arab world. I'll tell you what, as an Arab, I'd be afraid to live in Syria or Lebanon and even Egypt. Some of these countries, you know, Jordan isn't bad, but you do one bad thing over there and you end up in the clutches of the Mukhabarat. So the point is that, you know, the Israelis are looking at all this. And there's nothing positive being pushed to them saying, hey, you know, we're not bad. The Palestinians want peace. And if you would support us with peace, you know, that we would both have security and maybe, who knows, we could resolve all our differences together. But there isn't anything like that, is there? Is there any Palestinian PR campaign to win votes and win support? Or we just hope that things happen without doing anything?
Sort of, well, there is no such campaign. They just, the Palestinians try all the time to speak to the left groups and to the laborers who already support the Palestinians.
Right.
And you don't have to convince your friend to believe in
right.
you. Many times I ask them why you don't infiltrate or you speak to the Likud, to the extremists. Your problem is with the extremists, not with the your supporters.
Or even
since 20 years, right now, they just speak to the lefty group. They don't have any infiltration with the right of us groups. And that's, I think, in my opinion, is a mistake.
Well, I agree with you. I think, though, that there are three groups. There's the leftists, there's the centrists, you know, the middle majority of people in Israel. I think mainstream Israelis, the mainstream, are good people. Just like the mainstream Arabs are good people. Then around them is the left, and then around them is the right. So, but nobody in the Arab world is trying to spin using communications and strategy to reach out to that centrist Israeli population and make a difference. I just don't get it. You know, they hope that maybe it'll just happen. You know, they say, inshallah, it'll be up to God. I don't know, God so far hasn't really paid much attention, you know, to us, has he? It's gotten terrible.
I followed this issue closely, and before the Israeli elections, the BLO Central Council convened in Ramallah and decided to intensify the boycott of Israeli goods and to cut security coordination with Israel and any security ties. This came, they hope that this will be a good message to the Israelis. If you vote for Netanyahu, then you will have no security. But the Israelis understood the message on the other side. They understood, okay, if the Palestinian Authority want a third intifada and they stop security coordination, then we want to vote for who bring us security. And Netanyahu is more examined and experienced than Herzog. So the message that used, or the tactic that used by the Palestinian Authority, played wrongfully on the wrong, at the wrong time and gave or report negative results.
Yeah, it seems like it's the wrong strategy to make threats against a much more powerful political entity. You know, the Palestinians are not in a position to make threats. They can aggravate, there could be extreme violence, there could be another intifada, but what does it bring? It brings more suffering to us. You don't go up to a bully who's beating you up and you vow, I'm going to punch you in the face. If you don't stop, the bully's going to punch you even harder. But if you stop and you try to reason, and it's not one bully, there are millions. And if you reason with the Israelis, I think a lot of Israelis would stop. And they'd say, you know what, maybe we should do something different. But I don't know. I agree that what the Palestinians are doing is wrong. I think it's a self-defeating strategy that isn't going to help them, but it does make them look good to the people who are angry. You know, sometimes we don't expect to win, so we just want to be loved by our people. We don't want our people to criticize us. So we talk, you know, to the choir, our people, and tell them what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. And I think what Palestinians need to hear is we need to develop a new strategy, because just screaming at Israel and saying they're wrong, that they're apartheid, that they're racist, it's not doing anything. You know, Israel is stronger today than it ever was, even if, right, all the European countries, a lot of them don't like us, and even if Barack Obama is mad at them, I don't know. I don't see one thing changing for our people.
You are right, Ray. The Palestinian Authority adopt an improvised policy. It's not well-built and strategic. And when I follow the reactions, I find someone who said, our reaction to the victory of Netanyahu will be punishment at ICC in Lahai. Others said, we will wait and see till they formulate the government. So others say we will have no security coordination. Oslo is expired. So everyone has a different statement, and there is much confusion here. And this was one of the reasons that the Israelis were looking for. 60% of the Israelis are from the Oriental, and they want a charismatic, powerful, and strong leader, as I told you, like Ben-Gurion or the late Ariel Sharon.
Right.
And Herzog is not the right one. So,
but he was so reasoned. He was so reasoned. I think Herzog, he was the first Israeli that I heard in a powerful position say that he would go to the Palestinian parliament and address them to speak to them about peace. I mean, remember when Sadat did it? It didn't work. You know, Sadat said that he would go to Jerusalem to talk to the Israelis if it would bring peace, but Menachem Begin was a two-faced liar who made peace with Egypt and did everything he could to block peace with the Palestinians. Sadat wanted peace for Egypt and Palestine, but Begin was too crafty. And then, of course, Arab fanatics murdered Sadat, just like Israeli fanatics, you know, disciples of Benjamin Netanyahu, murdered Yitzhak Rabin. We're on the line with Mohammed Najib. He's a journalist in Ramallah, a great journalist. I've known him many, many years, and he has written for so many different publications over the years. He's right in the heart of the Palestinian community in the West Bank. He knows how they feel, and he's right there in the Palestinian street to understand what's going on. We only have a few more minutes, Mohammed, and I wonder if you can talk about, do you expect anything from Obama as a Palestinian? Do you think he really will find the courage? I know he wants to, but do you think he could do it, given all that he's up against with the Republicans, with the growing right in Israel? Can Obama single-handedly change things and help the Palestinians achieve peace?
The signs that come from the U.S. administration right now is not encouraging, as Obama feel insulted by Netanyahu's speech in front of the Congress.
Right.
And I read that he has turned the Palestinian Israeli file from his administration to the U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry. And during his phone call with Netanyahu, he was confused, and it wasn't a happy call to congratulate Netanyahu. So, and today I read that one of the options that U.S. administration will adopt to face the election of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is to let the Palestinian Authority collapse and force Netanyahu to face this challenge again. So right now, what we hear from the U.S. administration is not encouraging or push to be optimistic or to expect good results.
What would happen if the Palestinian Authority collapsed? What would happen if the government just walked away? I mean, there are 4.5 million Palestinians living under Israeli occupation. Israel doesn't want two states. That's what Netanyahu says. Deep in his heart, his actions prove that he doesn't want two states. He wants one state. Is he willing to allow the 4.5 million Palestinians to become Israelis and to vote in the Israeli elections? Because that would give us 6 million Palestinian votes in an Israeli election and triple our number of seats from 13 to 39.
He will not agree to join the Palestinians to be Israeli citizens.
What is he going to do then? Oppress us?
Demographic.
It's going to be like it'll be apartheid. It'll be apartheid, won't it? They hate that word, though, but that's what it would be.
Yeah, according to the international law, Israel as an occupier force will be responsible to provide us with electricity, with water, with all services, education, medication, all of these services instead of the Palestinian Authority.
Yeah, so, let them do it.
That will be a financial burden on Israel that has to bear like 200 million shekels a month and salaries and for the infrastructure and all things. And Israel doesn't want that. Israel wants the Palestinian Authority to continue doing this job, and they want just to enjoy security and use the West Bank as market for their goods and steal the money, the water from the Palestinian Authority and blockade the people and the terminals and tax them. So this policy makes the occupation as a beneficiary for Israel. They win from this occupation. They use the Palestinians as
the way they win now, right? They win now, but if they have to take care of them, they would lose, right? If they have to be responsible, they would lose. Maybe that's what should happen. Heck with it. They want everything. Let them have everything, right? Let them take the whole of Palestine. You know, maybe even let them take Jordan. I don't care. They got the power and the will to do it, but they got to be responsible for the people. And either they're, right, an apartheid government or they're a democracy. So what do they do with 4.5 million Muslims and Christians who are not Jewish when they come and become part of Israel? Is that Netanyahu's grand plan? He must be, you know, the guy must be crazy. I think Netanyahu really is crazy. He was born in Israel, and I think he has a hatred, you know, that's far deeper against Muslims and Arabs than any other Israeli leader I've ever, you know, read about or studied over the years.
I don't think that I agree with what you say, but also as Palestinian who lived here for 46 years, I don't think that we should always just blame Netanyahu, because as the Israelis organize the parliamentary elections, we can, the Palestinians, organize elections here. We can end the split between Fatah and Hamas in those Palestinian and Gaza, because if we are united, then Israel will respect us, then the Arab will respect us, the international community and the United States will respect us. But now, the Palestinian Authority in Ramallah and West Bank is very weak. Hamas is isolated in Gaza under siege and is very weak. There are 2 million Palestinians left. So we don't have elections since 10 years. So that's a problem also. We should do our homework as well and call then the international community to help us with Israel, to pressure Israel, or to use the available tools to punish Israel at the ICC or the United Nations.
Yeah, and my friend Sandy texted me a message here that says, Israelis are self-destructing due to their racist, fascist ways. And I agree with that. It is apartheid. Palestinians need transparency and a strategy. Palestinians react. They don't strategize. Unity. And she says, you're right, Muhammad. The Palestinians need unity. But are we capable of unifying? Because isn't it true, even with this Arab joint list, they picked the word joint to avoid the word unity? Wasn't that true, that they didn't want a united Arab list? They wanted to use the word joint list to show that they still have their differences.
I'm not going that much behind the used words and why they use joint, not united, but the outcome is the same. They are a united group and a third power inside the Knesset. And that's best positive message for the first time to their voters and who voted at the last hours and or the last 2 hours. But here, between Fatah and Hamas, is very easy. They were united and divided in 2007, so
right.
It's easy. They can, Abbas, make his way to Gaza to have lunch with Ismail Haniyeh, with Zahar,
right,
and signed and make it happen, then the Israelis will talk to us as united. But in this way, no one will respect us as well as we are divided, and we don't have elections to renew legitimacy of the Palestinian leaders and to have strategize to reach, to approach the Israeli opinion, to speak to them. So we have to choose our tools. If this these used tools didn't help us to reach our goal, then we have to change, to review it, to evaluate. Right now, I don't see any sign that we learned the lesson from what's happened right now.
It's interesting. If we don't respect ourselves and if we can't unite, you're right, we will continue to be weak. We'll continue to be oppressed. We'll be letting the Israelis off the hook. But I see a real troubling future for Israel. If there's no Palestinian state, then, you know, nobody talks about the, they never say 4.5 million Palestinians will become citizens of Israel. But the truth is, in order to keep all that land, they're going to have to keep all that people. Unless they do something so ugly and drastic that we can't even use the World War II references, because if we do, they go berserk. Listen, Mohammed Najib, I want to thank you again for joining me on radio. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I look forward to sharing some more coffee at Stars and Bucks in Ramallah. And, of course, you're out there, and I hope you say hello to everybody. You got a lot of great people out there, and we wish them the best. And we'll keep trying to get the message out here in the United States. But I wish that Abbas and the Palestinians would listen to you and recognize that we need a communication strategy to save our people. Mohammed, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you later. Thanks, Mohammed. That was my friend Mohammed Najib, journalist. Great guy. Really understands what's going on in the Palestinian street. Not a crazy, you know, extremist. He's a moderate, smart, experienced. And he really is reasoned when he analyzes everything. I want to thank everybody for joining us again today. This week has been, you know, big news with the election. It wasn't the way we wanted it to turn out. The ball is in Israel's court, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Are we going to have more conflict? Well, what's going to happen? I mean, there's just no way out of it. What is President Obama going to do? We'll be back next Friday. Here at Talk of the Town Radio at 1450 AM, live and also on YahalaVoice.com. Thank you for joining us. I'm Ray Hanania. Remember to visit our website at TheArabDailyNews.com. You guys have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Raise your voice with Yahala Voice.